I'm thrilled for this, you know. How I do things is I seek God and the Holy Ghost on what to preach, when to preach it, things like that. And this service is one I just did last week in South Dayton, and the Holy Ghost said to share it here as well. And so if you were already in it, you already heard it, you need to hear it again.
Amen.
In fact, I've had people text me about this service and how they need to listen to this over and over and over. And you'll find out why here in a second, but you can't get it in one hearing.
Right.
Why? Because faith cometh.
Right.
By the continual, repeated hearing. You know, Brother Hagin cured ministers of the fear of repetition. He would stand up at a camp meeting year after year and he'd say, open your Bibles to Mark 11:23, Mark 11:24. And he preached the same things, talk about the same stories and things. Well, Paul said this. He said, it's not grievous for me to write to you the same things, for by doing so, you stay safe. Amen?
Amen.
And so if you already heard this message, what's your point? What's your point? Praise God. You need to hear it again. Praise God. But, you know, there's times I've preached a sermon here and the Holy Ghost had then shared it at South Dayton. So I'm fired up about it. Praise God. It's found in Romans chapter 4 in verse 17. See, you need to get these principles down in your heart. Hallelujah. Because I know this, that when the attacks come and when the hell shows up on your front door, in the form of sickness and disease and symptoms and financial pressure and trouble with your children, things like that, that is not the time to prepare. That's the time to come out firing, praise God. This is the boot camp, praise God. This is not where the tests are. The tests are out there. This is where we prep for our test. On test day at school is not when you learn the material. If that's the day you think you're going to learn the material, you're in trouble for most people, right? The people that have studied and prepared and got it in them show up for test day, and test day's a breeze, amen? I watch Christians all the time. Same problems, same tests, maybe in just a little different format, but I'm talking about the intensity. And some of them, they are as stout and full of faith, don't move, don't waver, and they are ready to go through that thing. And others panic and wring their hands and worry and lose sleep. It all comes down to who was prepared. The Navy SEALs, we talked about them last week, they don't get, oh my gosh, they're shooting at us. Oh, you want to shoot at me? I'm ready for this. I got something for you. Praise God. Oh my gosh, I didn't know. No, that's why you went through hell and all that training. So when you were encountering the opposition, you were ready.
Right.
Amen. Why do you think Pastor Mike stands up here and shouts and spits at you and veins pop and face turns red and jumping around and animated? It's to get you ready.
Amen.
It's to get you ready, praise God. We could have just some fluff service, but I've learned this. Fluff is not good for you. It may taste good, but it's going to hurt your teeth. It's going to do something to your sugar levels. It's going to do something to your waist. You don't want fluff. Amen. You want the meat of the Word of God. Hallelujah. Why? Because there's the devil. And he's not playing around, and we're not going to play around either. We're going to come after him. Praise God. So let's pray and believe God for utterance. Father, we're just so grateful, so thankful for the opportunity to preach this tonight. I'm just thrilled about this. I'm thrilled with your word. And Father, I'm just so excited for the people that never heard this message, for the revelation, and the people that have heard it and even have listened to it multiple times. Because I know there's people in here right now. This might be their fourth or fifth time. They've already heard this message since last week. But that's how good your word is, Father. I thank you for the strengthening of their faith. And Father, thank you for answers and help tonight. And Lord, I give you the praise and glory for the utterance that's to come out, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, in Romans chapter 4, 17 through 21, it's our story of our good old buddy Abraham. And Abraham, this story, you know, it's kind of summed up in these verses, and it's all throughout the book of Genesis, you know, in different places. But God had me start meditating on these verses right around the beginning of October for deer season. And when I'm in my tree stand, I either have like one little wire coming up through my shirt and my earphone in. I turn my phone way down low and I'm listening to Brother Hagin, or I got my iPhone out and I got the Word on there and a Bible app and things. I'm just constantly feeding myself, and I couldn't get away from this. And so it's been since October. Well, I knew that I was to preach a message on these scriptures back in October. So how many months ago was that? October, November, December, almost five full months ago. And it's been marinating in me and just soaking in me and meditating on this. And finally, last Sunday, I get mixed up with all the services, but I was able to prepare that meal. And this isn't going to be leftovers. This is going to be a new. You know, sometimes we'll have Thanksgiving with Courtney's family and then my family, and it's great because I go there and it's not leftovers. Although leftovers are good, it's right out of the oven. And then my mom comes over and it's right out of the oven for her too. So you're getting this right out of the oven. Amen. Don't ever be tempted to feel like it's second best here or leftovers here. There are times that dynamic messages have sprung from this place and been brought to South Dayton. We have to get in our mindset that we're just one family in two different locations. I don't pray for this church any less. I don't give any time and attention any less to this church. My sowing my seed, same thing. Praise God. And the devil will try to creep in and tell you anything, but it's been sitting in there, and so we're going to prepare it again. Praise God. This is just our second Thanksgiving right now. And I found second Thanksgiving just as good as the first one. Praise God. So it's been sitting in there. So I want to read down through Romans 4, 17 through 21 here. It says, "As it is written, I have made you, Abraham, a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead, and calls those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able to perform." Now, let me just say something here. If you're facing something impossible right now, you are going to be so happy I preached this.
Amen.
If you're not facing something impossible right now, just hold on.
Right.
Be patient. You will eventually, something that looks too big for you, too hard for you. And you'll be so glad because you'll remember, "Oh, I remember that service. I know exactly what to do when I'm facing the impossible." That's what I love about this story so much, is that we're talking about a human being. And you're going to see a point in here, a human being that's no different than us. We think big Abraham, you know, one of the mightiest men in the Bible. But Abraham had his man moments, his human being moments, praise God. How many of you know we have our human being moments of faltering and failing? And I love looking at this story because here's a real man that encountered something absolutely naturally impossible, but God laid it out in the Word of how the impossible became possible. And how many of you know Abraham had a part in that? God's side, man's side. When man does man's side, God does what God said he would do if man does what he does. And God said something, Abraham did something, then God did something because Abraham did something. But we have the steps laid out. Thank God for His Word. His Word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. We don't need to stumble. We don't need to wonder and falter and fail. He's laid it out for us. Praise God. Hallelujah. And you know what's cool about preaching it the second time? Is the people that have heard it will recognize, wait, that came out different. Well, I know this, that Courtney's grandma's mashed potatoes are not like my mom's. They're good, but they come out a little different. The turkey comes out still good, just comes out different. And so there'll be different things said, different utterances that come forth out of this, which is so cool how the Word can do that. But I want you to see in this, because again, if you're facing the impossible right now, this is your answer. And when you encounter the impossible, guess what? This is your answer. Amen? So let's take a look at Abraham. In this story, God's given me five things to point out to look at, that if we apply it to our situation, it'll work just the same way. God's no respecter of persons. See, Brother Hagin said it this way, if you'll work the Word will work for you. And it's when you get thrilled with the words when it works for you. Amen. I dare you to sit down with your Bible. See, this is something I didn't say last week, but this is coming up on my heart. So you need to hear it. Someone needs to hear this. I dare you when you sit down with the Word of God to show excitement, interest, and watch what the Holy Ghost does with you in your heart. Why? Because they that are hungry and thirsty are filled and satisfied. When you sit down with your Word and don't stir yourself up and think, oh gosh, I got to do this, go through the motions, because if I don't, God don't give a rip if you do or you don't. He loves you just as much as He's ever going to love you. You being in the Word changes you, so you might as well not go through the motions and get nothing. It's the same way when we come to church.
That's right. Amen.
Some people walk in, man, and they just dipped in the Eeyore spirit. I mean, head first, they went right in and just... No, no, no. The book of Acts. One heart, one mind, one accord. Those three things, all together. They showed up to a service ready. Left their problems outside the door. Came in to worship God. Came in with a hungry heart, with a hungry attitude. What's He going to say to me today? The hungry ones are the filled ones. The apathetic ones stay unfilled. The casual ones, the ones that don't give a rip, they stay unfilled. Hallelujah. It's the truth. And I dare you when you sit down with your Bible, no matter what your flesh is saying, no matter what your mind's saying, because we don't go by our feelings, to say, Father, I'm excited to be here. Your flesh might not be, and your mind might not be, but your spirit is. You want to know why? Because it's buffet time. And Mikey's flesh and mind gets excited at the buffet line. And Mikey's spirit gets real excited at the buffet table of His Word, praise God. And if I'll sit there and say, Father, my flesh doesn't want this, my mind doesn't want this, but I'm glad to be here. I'm excited. Holy Ghost, show me something. Reveal something to me. Enlighten me on something. You watch your Bible time change. Because He meets the hungry hearts. Amen. So someone needed a little boop on the butt right there just to get you woke up a little bit, praise God, in your time with the Lord. Anyways, go to Matthew 19 and verse 26, if you would. Matthew 19, 26. Praise God forevermore. Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to see five things. Apply it to your situation. It says, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God... Now, He didn't just say, this is what I like about this, He didn't just say, with God, this thing is possible. Because if it was just that thing, your thing wouldn't count.
Right.
Your impossible thing wouldn't count if He said, with men, this is impossible, but this thing we're dealing with right here, it's possible. No, no, that's not what He said. With men, this situation right here and there is impossible, but with God, not just this situation is possible, all things are possible. Yeah, but you've been told you'd never be cured. All things are possible.
Amen.
Yeah, but the bank account and the numbers say all things are possible. Yeah, but the doctors. Yeah, but my mind. Yeah, but history. Yeah, but the calendar. All things are possible with Him. And you know what's interesting? It's the impossible things. You know why headaches don't alarm people so much? Because most people can just pop two ibuprofen and the headache's gone.
Yeah. Come on.
So the headache doesn't alarm you. Or maybe even just the common cold, we get it, and it's annoying and no fun, but we go, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? I'm never going to make it. No, you know within a few days you'll start feeling better.
That's right.
You know, even if you don't apply faith or anything, just the body heals.
Yeah.
You know, you get a little cut on your finger and you're not, you know, calling everybody and saying, oh, I've got a cut on my finger, better go make a will. Better go fill out my will, I got a cut on my finger. No. Why? Because you know it's going to be taken care of. Those aren't things that trouble us. The things that trouble us are things we can't handle. The things that trouble us are the things we don't have an answer for. The things that trouble us are the things that professionals who spend a lot of money to go to school and have numbers and reports, when they tell us, sorry, you will have this for the rest of your life, that's when we get troubled. It's when the numbers, you do them over and over again on your calculator, and they're still coming out the same. And you're looking at that paycheck. You're just trying to grow more numbers on that paycheck. If I just look at it hard enough, more numbers will appear. And no numbers appear, and the bills stay the same. And the checkbook and the calculator comes out when you're subtracting and things. And still, you don't have enough. Those are the things that trouble us.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Why? Because we don't have an answer for it. We know that'll fix. The cold, that'll fix. Amen. It's the impossible, the incurable, the no hope things that trouble us. And my question to you is, if you'll renew your mind to this verse, that won't be the case anymore. Because think about it. The impossible causes people to do what? Fear, worry, anxiety, stress. All the things that shut faith down. See, God is asking you, in the middle of your worst time ever, most hardest thing, most impossible thing, sickest time ever, He's asking you to not be moved by those things. But He wouldn't ask you those things if it wasn't possible. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, Romans 12 tells us. Transformed into what? A doubter into a believer. A waver into a steady person. Well, what are you talking about, Pastor Mike? My Bible says that when there's impossible things for men, that's okay because men are not the only ones in the equation. That's exactly when God shows up. And I'll say it this way. If we didn't face impossible things and we could do everything, we wouldn't need Him. You know what was impossible? For you to save yourself. You couldn't save yourself. You were in an impossible, natural situation. That's okay. Jesus came. God took care of that impossibility. Oh, I'm in an impossible situation physically. No. Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5 came. By His stripes you are healed. Psalms 103, verse 3 came. Not only does He forgive your iniquities, He heals all your diseases. Amen. Yeah, but my bills way outweigh my paycheck. That's okay. Philippians 4:19 came. My God will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory, not your paycheck. Amen. But people stare and focus on the impossible, when they should stare and focus at the God of the impossible. That's not the time to get nervous. That's not the time to fret. I'll give you an example. I don't know a lick about technology. In fact, I'm dangerous with it. Because they'll do something wrong and ruin it or hurt it or blow something up. It's true. If Pastor Scott was here, he'd be amening like you've never seen him amen before. Pastor Scott was that real tall guy. And he self-proclaimed himself this today. He said, "Pastor Mike, I am your nerd." I said, "Praise God, I have a nerd. I have a nerd. I need a nerd. I need. That's what he said. I'll show you the text. He said, "Pastor Mike, I'm your nerd." Talking about some things in the sound booth and stuff. He said, "I'm your nerd. Let me fix it, you know." And here's the thing. The only reason I have the iPhone and I'm an Apple guy is because I don't know anything about technology, but I know someone who does. Just phone call away. So if my phone messes up, he don't know Android. He don't know what the other kinds are. He knows Apple, so okay, I'll be an Apple guy. Amen. It's kind of like when Shane Conlon from Frewsburg in 1987 went and graduated from the Penn State. He went there in 83 from Frewsburg. My dad coached him, and he got drafted by the Buffalo Bills. I mean, I would have been a Raider fan, a Ram fan, a Dolphin fan, a Patriot fan if Shane would have went there, but he went to the Bills, so I became a Bills fan. So I'm an Apple fan because of Pastor Scott. Why do I have a Mac computer? Because I think they're better, know everything about them? No, because he does. Here's my point. Without Him, if my phone does something wrong, my computer does something wrong, things in the sound booth go bad, things in the wiring and TVs and stuff go bad, without Him, I'm panicking. But I never panic with that stuff. You want to know why? There's a Pastor Scott. He can do what I can't. Why panic when you face a sickness that a medicine can't cure? Is the medicine your only answer?
No. Come on.
Why panic when you face a financial situation that your checking account can't meet the needs for? Is that the only thing you have to meet your needs? It'd be like me freaking out about not being able to, "Oh, I don't know how to fix this computer. Oh, what am I going to do? Oh, wait a minute. What about the giant? There's a giant. There's a giant in my life. His name is Pastor Scott." Amen. He knows how to do it. I don't worry about none of it, ever. Ever do I worry about it. Something happens, it's annoying, I call Him. You get sick, yeah, it's annoying, but you got Him. Call Him.
Amen. That's
Financial problem, yeah, it's annoying and it can be rawr, scary, but you got Him. And nothing's too hard for Him. Remember He said in Jeremiah 32? He said, "Behold, I am the Lord thy God. Is there anything too hard for me?" It's kind of like when Pastor Scott, when I'll question him on something because I get nervous. And you know what he says to me? "Do you know who you're talking to?" That's what he says to me. "Pastor Mike, have you not learned at this point?" Basically what he's saying, "Pastor Mike, I am the Lord of technology. Is there anything too hard for me?" That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. And I'm like, "You're right. I'll just back up." Because if he makes the wrong sound or the wrong facial expression, oh, I get nervous. Because I don't know. Why is he doing that? And so he just learned to just not react now anymore. But my faith is completely in Him. He knows what I don't. Why are we worried and afraid when we can't? Who cares if we can't? He can.
Amen.
Amen. That's His ground to shine, praise God. That's when He swoops in and does His thing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, it's crazy. You see those Navy SEALs, they get excited. They get bored staying on the base, just running and going to the range. When there's a mission, they're not like, "Oh my gosh, what do I do? This is so hard." It would be hard for us, but thank God for them. They get excited. The Bible says your Heavenly Father's looking to and fro. Who can I show myself strong in? He wants to be big in your life.
Amen.
But He needs your faith, praise God. That'll help you with your faith. Praise God. Stop focusing on the impossible and focus on the One that can fix it. Because if I focus on the technology, my mind goes a little crazy. But I just focus on the One that can fix it. Nah, He's just a phone call away. And the only thing that makes me nervous is when He doesn't respond to my text messages. I think He does that on purpose sometimes. I mean, I'm just all rapid fire, you know. Just, "Hey, I need you. I need you." Glory to God. So anyways, number two, are you ready? Number one, the impossible, that's where God shines. Go with me to Genesis 17:17. This helps me so much. You know what really helps me in the Bible? When we see that people are just people. Amen, Pastor Mike. Great point. No, let me tell you what I mean. David, mighty man. Peter, mighty man of God. Paul, mighty man. I mean, three of the top in all the Bible. Three of the people I want to meet the most in heaven. All have a checkered, messed up past. Of screwing things up majorly. And guess what? God forgave them and still used them and they went on to do great things. You know what that tells me? They're human beings just like me. Amen. What about when the Bible talks about Elijah over there in James chapter 5? And it says, what did Elijah do? Remember, there was a prophecy that there's going to be no rain. But then there's time for rain, but rain doesn't just come automatically. We see Elijah praying for the rain. And Elijah prayed that rain down from heaven, didn't he? And the Bible said, Elijah, you better build the altar and a temple to him and bow down to him because he was a prophet of God. And he did things that none of us could ever do. And he was on a level that we could never obtain. No, that would make it untouchable. But the Bible said that Elijah was a man like us with the same kind of passions. What did it mean? He woke up grumpy. He went to bed grumpy at times. He was short with people. Sometimes he doubted. Sometimes he was an unbeliever. Sometimes he got frustrated and threw the wrench. He was a man like us, but he was able to pray the rain down from heaven. What's that mean? You need some things prayed down? You can do it. Why? You're just a man just like him.
Amen.
The Bible, see, we look at these people and think, "Oh, we could never. No, they're just human beings. Just like you and me. Praise God. It's true. And I love this with Abraham. Because we read in Romans 4 and it says that Abraham was fully persuaded. He considered not his own body now dead, being 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, right? He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, the Bible says. And we read that and we think, my goodness, if we could just be like Abraham, right? Facing the impossible and standing firm and saying, the baby will come. I don't care what my wife looks like, what her body's saying, what science says, what the calendar says, what my body looks like, what my birth certificate says, well, how many candles there are in the birthday cake this year. Doesn't matter to me. God said it and I believe it.
Yeah.
And that's what we see.
Yeah.
And we think, oh, how could we ever? Well, maybe we ought to take a closer look, a magnifying glass in the Word, and see that Abraham was just like you and I.
Right.
Why am I saying this? Because your faith will determine whether you get to the other side of that problem or not in victory. And some of you might see Abraham and think, man, I've already failed. I'm not like him. I mean, I'll believe for about a week, then I get discouraged and I get angry, I get upset, or I start to doubt, start to worry and things. I'm here to help you today. Because Abraham, when he got the word, you're going to have a son, he wasn't, oh yeah, that's right, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. No, that wasn't his reaction. Genesis 17 and verse 17 says this. Then Abraham, what happened before then? God told him you're going to have a child. Well, let's look what Abraham did. Abraham fell on his face and laughed. My son is one of the most innocent human beings ever. Not sure what happened with Abby. Well, I'm just telling you, Caleb, something about that kid, just the way he thinks. And the other day, I fell on my face. When you fall on your face and laugh at somebody, you know what you're doing? You're mocking them. Mocking what they're saying. And Abby takes gymnastics down to Lakewood YMCA, and Caleb wanted to go down there and play basketball while she's doing gymnastics. He sees the other kids playing, and we're a little leery, you know, because at times there's the wrong group there. The language, I mean, he wouldn't even know what a swear word was if he even heard it. And that's what he said. He's like, Mom, I don't even know what the swear word is. You know, he's like, I wouldn't even know if I heard it. Who cares if I hear it? I don't know what it is. And we laugh at him. But he said this. He said he was bringing his nice basketball. And there's older kids. And I just know how people are that are unsaved. I mean, I used to be one of them, you know. I said, buddy, make sure they don't take your basketball from you. These are older teenagers. My son's 9. And Caleb, being innocent, it made me fall on my face and laugh. He's like, well, they better not take it. If they take it from me, I'm going to go up to them and tell them, that's my ball. You give that ball back to me. Like, he thinks in his mind, because it's the right thing to do, there's, oh, I'm sorry. I said, well, what are you going to do if they don't? He goes, well, Dad, now mind you, he's been to 3 karate classes. He said, I've taken karate. He said, and I'll tell him that I took karate. And I'll tell him, if you don't give me my ball back, I said, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to show him my moves. And so he's in the living room doing his thing. I'm like, and he's thinking in his head, they're going to be like, okay, we'll give you the ball back. I just fell on my face and laughed at him. Well, it's hilarious and so dumb. Kid needs to learn. No, don't do that. You'll come home with a black eye. But he doesn't know. But my point was, my reaction to him was because I thought it was silly what he said. And Abraham, when God told him that, look what he did. Fell on his face and laughed. Laughed. What was he thinking? That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard, God. I'm this old, she's this old, nobody's done this before. What are you talking about? Laughed, shall a child be born. You can see him. Shall a child be born unto him that's 100. You can see it. And Sarah that is 90, and he's laughing the whole time. Mr. Faith Man, Abraham. And we know he wasn't Mr. Faith Man, Abraham either. Why? They went out and got the younger mistress, Hagar. And had a baby on their own, right? Well, I don't think we can do it, have this child with you. You're 90 and your womb's dead. Let's go get someone that can have children. Well, that's not an act of faith. Come on. Ladies and gentlemen, don't beat yourself up. If you woke up this morning thinking to yourself, yeah, right, that's never coming to pass. That's what he thought. Yeah. But guess what? He got into faith and it came to pass. Yeah. What am I telling you? He's just a man. He's just a man. If you've had your moments of doubt and unbelief, so what? Repent and get back on the faith train. Right now. As soon as possible. Praise God. You know, I'm just going to tell you the truth. Your pastor, you know, you hear that testimony. He was $2,000 short every month for 2 years and believed God every month for the money. And I did. And it came to pass. Paid off $60,000 worth of debt. Wow. Faith, man. Faith, man, Pastor Mike. Yeah, well, what you didn't see, though, is me sitting at La Herradera in Fredonia, a Mexican restaurant, with my pastor, when I knew I was called to start a church in South Dayton, and I knew I was called to quit my job and stay home with Caleb and pastor the church in the evenings, and I knew what the bills equaled up to and how much came in and what that left us short. It was exactly about $1,200 of the bills that came in the mail, and then when we figured gas, groceries, and baby stuff, figured we'd be right around $2,000, and that's about what it averaged. And I knew all that. So I went to my pastor and I begged him for a salary. Mr. Faith Man, Pastor Mike, you know, that big faith guy up there you hear about. And begged him for a salary. I said, Pastor, we'll just keep track of it. I said, when my church grows and I start making money, we'll pay Fredonia back. And he just sat there and smiled. Like he does, you know, just, what's he thinking? What's he thinking? And I laid it on thick. Why? I wanted to tug at his emotional heartstrings. I wanted him to feel bad for me to get. See, when you're trying to get people to give you stuff like that and you're dropping faith hints, that's just telling you where you're at. Looking for people to help bless you and take care of you and not looking to the Father. That's what I was doing. Well, it's the next service. I'm sitting on the front row in his church. He calls me up, says, Pastor Mike, come here, I gotta show you something. Flips through his Bible, points to it, walks away. Like he does, just walks away. And it was where Jesus told the disciples, he said, when I sent you out with nothing. I knew my answer, no salary. I'm thankful that he did that. Now it taught me faith. But back then, I went home, told Court, and this is a true story. She cried, and I wanted to. I did. Why? I was so scared. I thought, new baby coming, this amount of money. Never believed for this amount of money. I was nervous. I couldn't sleep. I felt sick to my stomach. I went out and looked for a third shift job, and the Holy Ghost said, don't you dare do that. I said, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? That's not faith words. What am I going to do? But that's where I was at. But guess what I did? I got into faith, repented, and the blessings came. So if you're like me, a doubter, an unbeliever, worried, scared, and fear of what you're going through, repent and get into faith. Now, the last 3 points, I'm going to show you what to do to get there. Praise God. Are you ready? We got built up to this point. So number one, the impossible is where God shines. Number two, Abraham was just like you and me. He wasn't no solid rock, and neither was your pastor in the beginning. Hallelujah. I remember driving through South Dayton the first time when the Lord told me, I said, what South Dayton? There's nothing here. Why would you start a church here? You know, and starting to be worried, like, how are we ever going to find a building? All that stuff. But I get into faith. Because wallowing around in your doubt and unbelief is not getting things done. It's stopping the power from coming to you, praise God. Amen. Number three, Romans chapter 4 and verse 18. This is where it started for Abraham. You want faith like Abraham? Because Abraham is just like you and me. Went through the doubting phases. I mean, so much he laughed at God. I mean, I was laughing at Caleb, bold-faced mocking him. That's what he was doing to Abraham. Or Abraham was doing to God. And yet, he still got something major from God. Aren't you glad God don't hold a grudge? Aren't you glad? You know what grace is? One acronym of grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. But the one I like the most that I've heard is grace is just simply God treating you better than you deserve.
Yeah, that's true.
He treats us better than we deserve. Because if someone laughed in our faces, oh, I'll fix your wagon, no kid for you. God didn't even hold it. Why? You know why? Because the Bible says, and this will help us. This is more utterance. Just so you know, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7, the love scriptures. You know the wedding scriptures? Love pays no attention, the Amplified says, to a suffered wrong.
Wow, that's
good. No attention to it. In Ephesians, it says this, that walk in love and forbear one another. What's that mean? When somebody wrongs you, you don't keep it in your back pocket for to pull out. And...
That's right.
You know when you get your student loans forbear, they forbear them, they make it so... You don't have to pay them. You're not having to pay the penalty of those. Love takes no account. When Abraham laughed at God, he took no account of a suffered wrong. Paid no attention to it. Praise God. We could learn something from him, couldn't we?
Yes, amen.
In our relationships and how we deal with people. Man, we're just ready just to get people. No, that's not love. That's not how God operates. It started in verse 18. See, if you go back and listen to the first Thanksgiving dinner, you won't hear that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Say, why is that? Well, there's different people here that are dealing with different things, and utterance from the Holy Ghost comes up to help correct and change and tweak some things. That's why it's so, anytime you hear pastor, in fact, if you heard me next week preach the same exact sermon, if the Holy Ghost told me to do this, same exact sermon for the rest of this year, every single time different utterance would come out. And you'd get something different out of it. Why? The Word of God's alive. And I would do it if the Holy Ghost told me to do it. Amen, I would. Wouldn't bother me a bit. Romans chapter 4 and verse 18. The first two things we saw, but this is how it starts changing for Abraham. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. So shall thy seed be. The thing that gave Abraham even the permission to believe the absolute ridiculous and crazy and impossible was he got a word from God. Yeah. Amen? How in the world, down $2,000 short every single month, did Pastor Mike get to a place where I got excited every time the calendar hit a new month and I knew, wow, we don't have the money to pay our bills. And I got thrilled about that because I got a word from God. Philippians 4:19, my God will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. I had no riches. I had no bank account. I had no paycheck. But I wasn't basing it of believing for that money based on what I had. I was basing it off of His word. How was Abraham able to believe that crazy word? God said, so shall your seed be. You're going to have some seed, Abraham. That gave Abraham the permission to believe the impossible. If you're going through something that's impossible, incurable, no hope, complete despair, discouragement, what has God said? That is your light at the end of the tunnel. There was one time we took the kids to Florida, and I told the story, the way I tell it is, my kids are so different that, and the way that they are, we rarely tell them anything good in their life until the moment it's happening. Because Caleb won't sleep, and Abby won't shut up about it. I mean, she'll just wear you out. I mean, she has no concept of time and calendar, and so something could be 6 months away, and to her that might as well be tomorrow, and so she's talking about it as if it's tomorrow every single day. So we just don't say anything. And then if something happens and something has to change, they're not disappointed. But so basically my kids get blessed, but they never get to look forward to being blessed. It's how we do things. It's like a lifetime of surprises for my children. It's the truth. That's what we do. And so one time we were going on vacation to Florida, and there's no way we could tell them about that. Not with the way my kids are. Just be a nightmare. And so it's just during the school. We're going to pull them out of school even, which, you know, Sunday's a fun day, church and everything. But then, you know, the Sunday blues start setting in for kids. They did for me. You start realizing school tomorrow. And it changes the whole Sunday, right? Just kind of ruins the rest of Sunday if you're not thinking right when you're younger. And so they're thinking they're going to school, but this time we all drove to church together in my truck because I said I have an appointment up in Buffalo, which I did. It was with Southwest Airlines to take my kids to Florida. Amen. But I told them, and so we shoved all the suitcases in the back of my truck with a tonneau cover over it, so they had no idea. Everything's packed for Florida. Court was doing it in the middle of the night and just different things, and it's not the easiest to live life like this, but it's worth it. Amen. And so we get to Silver Creek, and there's a McDonald's there, and we pull over, get them McDonald's, and they're eating the McDonald's, and I put the mirror down, and I said, I told them what the appointment with Buffalo is. I said, and we're going to Florida on a trip, and their eyes got huge. And they started hooting and hollering in the car and fire, because they know too, I will never lie to them or trick them with something like, the worst thing I think people do is when they give people those fake lottery tickets that tell them they win like $1 million and then they're like, ha ha, fake. That's so mean. Me and my hunting buddies, Reverend Randy, who's my best friend in hunting, we hunt together. We have a thing. We can never tell each other big buck down unless it's true, because it would get the other one's hopes up so much that we don't want to do that. So I would never do it to my kids. Like, we're going on a trip and then yank the carpet back from underneath them. Now, I might say I'm just kidding, we're really not going, if we really are going, because I know the sadness will then turn back into happiness. So I'm okay with that, but if I will never pull it out if we're really not going. So they know when I say that, and they're excited and hooting and hollering, and they never questioned it. Even though, as crazy as it was, that all of a sudden they're going to McDonald's, having to go to Buffalo with Dad because of some dumb appointment, having to do that in their church clothes and take up the rest of their Sunday, and they think they have to go to school tomorrow, and it's a week long of school ahead of them, and there's no reason to be on break. They completely believed me. Believed the crazy. Believed the impossible. You know why? Dad spoke it. That was it. If Dad said it, that settles it. So shall your seed be, Abraham. Abraham finally said, okay, I believe you. You know that faith is simple. All faith is just agreeing with God. We make it so hard, like you gotta, it's all these, no, it's just agreeing with God. He says, I'll meet your needs. Do you agree with it or not? He said, I'll heal your body. Do you agree with it or not? That's all faith is. Finally, Abraham said, I agree with that. Sign me up. Praise God. But it all hinged on the dad saying something. Father God, find a word. Find a word. Why was I able to believe for my home when the bank said no? People are putting in bids for tens of thousands of dollars more than we offered and even more than she's selling it for. The realtor's telling us this is never happening. The bank said it's never happening. I had a guy from the Fredonia Church have to call this lady. It's a long story. She didn't want to sell the house to us personally. She doesn't even want to sell the house to us. And they're telling us no. And the whole time, never moved me. I remember sitting down in my dungy basement, the house that I used to have where I'd, you know, study and the spiders would fall on me. And I was down in the rocking chair down there and just rejoicing and praising God. All these negative reports would come. I said, that's my home. That's my home. That's my home. But you don't have the money for that. The bank said no. The woman doesn't even want to sell it to you. The realtor says it's not happening. Other people offer more. Why? Daddy told me. When I stepped to that front door of that house and I looked through that open floor plan of that house, the Holy Ghost said, this is yours. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Just the same way when Caleb and Joshua went into the promised land and there were already people there. And there are already walls and cities there. They said, this is ours. The 10 didn't believe it. And the 2 million of the tribe of Israel didn't believe it. But they did. Why would they be able to believe that? Because Daddy said so. Why was Joshua able to lead them into Jericho, the same place that 40 years earlier they failed, go into Jericho and say, we're taking this city. Daddy said so. If Daddy says you're healed, you're healed. If Daddy says you're blessed, you're blessed. Whatever he says, praise God. Hallelujah. Now this one I won't spend a lot of time on because we spent a whole service on this before. But number 4 is found in verse 19. Number 1, the impossibles, that's where God is. Number 2, Abraham was just like us, doubted. Number 3, it turned around, he got a word and agreed with it. Number 4, which is kind of 3 trails into number 4, is found in verse 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, neither was 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. 19 happened because of 18. Well, what happened in 18? Remember, he got a word. But what happened, he got a word originally, and what was his response? Ha, ha, ha. Go get a younger woman. I can't do this. My body. She can't do this. Her body. We can't do this science. We can't do this birth certificates. Our age, the wrinkles, everything. You name it. We can't do it. But he had a word. I see it all the time. The same word. Goes out to the same people. And some people grow and thrive. And some people spin around the same mountain of defeat for years and years. And they're getting the same word that transformed and changed other people. The seed is the power. But what we do with the seed is what matters. Amen. Abraham got the same word that led to nothing. That got the same word that led to the baby. It didn't change. Back when it wasn't happening, God said, you're going to have a child. Nothing happened. God said, down here, you're going to have a child. Something happened. What happened? The man happened. The ground, the heart of the ground changed. And what did he do? He became one with the word. Remember we said, if you know the truth, it'll set you free. What does that word know mean? Well, it's the same word that Mary used. We said, I've not known a man. When she said, you're going to have a baby. The angel said, you're going to have a baby. She said, I have not known a man. What does it mean to know a man? Become intimate, to become one. God looks at that as one. To become one with his word. What's that mean? Abraham, you're going to be a dad. That means it doesn't matter what your body says. It doesn't matter what your feelings say. It doesn't matter what the calendar says. It doesn't matter what science says. All that matters is my word. And so what does it say in verse 19? He became one with the word and considered not his body anymore. Considered not his wife's body. What does that look like for you? Philippians 4:19. You take your eyes off your checkbook and off your paycheck and off your sock drawer money and off your bills and stop saying, I'll never make it because of my bills. I'll never make it because of my account. I'll never make it because of my paycheck. And you start saying, I'm going to make it because Daddy said so. That's becoming one with the Word. Most people never get to that place. They'll just quote scriptures that have never become one with it. How do you know? Because the symptoms trouble people. The natural scares people. The 10 spies were not one with the word that was given in Numbers chapter 13, which was, send men to search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. It's yours. Caleb and Joshua became one with that word. How do we know? They didn't care that there were giants in the land. They didn't care that there were people. They didn't care that there were walls. They didn't care that there were cities there. It didn't matter to them. God said it. We're one with that word. I agree with that word. Well, that's what Abraham got to. And maybe he haven't got to that point yet where the calendar no longer matters to you. If the calendar still matters, what do I mean by the calendar? How long it's been? And in your mind, how long it still might be. If the calendar still is an issue, you have not become one with the Word. If your paycheck is still troubling you, you have not become one with the Word. If the doctor's report is still troubling you and the symptoms are still troubling you, it's just a sign you've not become one with the Word. Because Abraham was given the Word and what? The symptoms troubled him. The natural troubled him. The calendar troubled him. Come on. I'm just hitting you right up underneath where it gets uncomfortable. But we're trying to locate you. You need to locate yourself. Find out where you're at in this process. What do I need to do? What do I need to change? What do I need to adjust? Amen. God lays it out for us. He showed us when it didn't work. Not because of him, but because of Abraham. And then he showed us how it worked. Well, how do you become one with the Word? Hear it and 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 hear it. Right? Hallelujah. Faith comes by hearing. How long do I have to hear it for? You become one with it till there's a birth. Yeah.
Good.
The only way that there's proof that a husband and wife became one is the children. There was a birth.
Yeah.
That's proof. They know each other.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be weird or inappropriate. It's just the truth. The only way you know that when you became one with the Word is when there was a birth.
Yeah.
What's the birth? Faith in your heart. When the symptoms don't matter, when the checkbook don't matter, when the time doesn't matter, when the calendar doesn't matter, when the only thing that matters to you is what he said, you've become one with it.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. We can get there.
Yeah.
Absolutely we can. If you'll meditate on it enough, there'll be a day star that'll rise in your heart. That's what it said in 2 Peter 1:19. Give heed unto the word like a light that shines in a dark place until when? How long do we have to do this for? Till the birth. Till the birth. Till the birth. Till the birth. Till there's a pregnancy. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. And we'll close with this, number 5. Number 5 is found in verse 20. So, to get up to this place, you get a word. You become one with the word. But what happens then? When you become one with the word, the manifestation doesn't all of a sudden show up.
Right?
Right? Faith and patience. Endure till the end. Faint not, you'll reap. Praise God. That's what the Word says. We know that Mark 11:23 or verse 24 says, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them and you'll have them. The believe you receive them and the you'll have them, there's no time there. God, there's no time there. Sometimes the time is on us because we weren't believing. Sometimes there's natural things that need to be worked out. But there's no promise of when it's going to happen. Just a promise that it's going to. Hold fast to the profession of your faith, Hebrews 10:23 says, for he is faithful that promised. Don't waver. He's faithful that promised. What's he saying? There's going to be time to waver, but don't waver. What's that mean? There's going to be time that goes by from you releasing your faith, becoming one with the Word, believing God's Word, when nothing changes in the natural. That, ladies and gentlemen, is when most people fumble the faith football. Because it's not hard getting the uniform on. It's not hard being in warm-ups and running through the tunnel and hearing the crowd cheer. That's not when the battle's at. It's not hard to meditate on the Word and get faith. That's easy. Even releasing your faith and speaking to the mountain is easy. The hard part comes when the opposition steps in. And we'll see what the Holy Ghost says, but on Wednesday I preached on what to do when the opposition steps in, because that's when the devil's going to start yapping. Oh yeah, you believe? Why are you sicker than you were when you released your faith 3 weeks ago? You're broker now than you were 2 months ago.
Yeah.
And the enemy tries to tell you to get, but see, you're not worried about, you don't care that it got worse.
Right.
Because you're not one with that. You're one with the Word. You know when your symptoms flare up and your checkbook goes worse and your kids go worse, it still doesn't change God. In fact, Abraham got worse and worse for the natural to have a baby. The more he got older and the more she got older, the worse and worse it got. And God's word didn't change. His word didn't change. Praise God. So what do we do during that time? Well, the Bible tells us. Romans chapter 4 and verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Can you imagine? God first spoke this to him when he was 75 years old. In different times during you see the Lord coming to him and speaking to him again. You're going to have a child. Not with Hagar. It's not Ishmael. There's a seed coming. It's going to be Isaac. Amen. And he kept speaking it to him, building faith. Why? Faith comes by hearing. God kept saying it. God kept saying it. God kept saying it. You study it out. God kept saying it. But think about the thoughts Abraham would have every new birthday, every new ache in his body, every new wrinkle, every new year that would go by, every word on the street, the thoughts that would come. But the Bible says he was fully persuaded. He got to a place where that stuff didn't matter. He staggered not the promise of God. How would he be able to do it? It tells us right here. Staggered not the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, or strengthened in faith, as he gave glory to God. You wonder why Pastor Mike flips a gasket, blows a gasket, whatever the wording would be. Is it blow a gasket? Not flip one. You don't flip a gasket. You flip a pancake. You don't flip a gasket. I don't even know what a gasket is. Honestly, if you asked me, I don't even have any idea what it is. It sounds like a basket, so does something go in it? No, it doesn't? In between two pieces of metal. There, got my education. I have no idea, but you don't flip it, you blow it. Right? You can blow a gasket, you flip a pancake. Anyways, why does Pastor Mike blow a gasket at times when I see people that I know are going through hell on earth? And during worship, this is what I see.
Come on. Come on. That is good.
You don't have a revelation yet. Praise and worship got this man through the hardest part of his test and trial into the manifestation. Why? He was strengthened. His faith didn't diminish. It got stronger as he gave glory, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. One translation says, as he praised and worshiped the Lord. You say, well, why would that be? Well, think about what you're doing when you really praise and worship him. Your attention is off of you and your body and your money and your stuff and the problems, and your attention is on the answer. Why did Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16, when they were beaten, thrown naked in prison at midnight, lift their voice in the worst possible time and prayed and sang praises to God so loud that the Bible says the other prisoners heard them? It wasn't like,
come on. Come on.
No. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Psalms 35:27, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. That's what he says. And when we see the place shaken in the book of Acts, the Bible says they lifted up their voice and began to magnify God.
Amen.
We're just so quiet. We don't want anybody else to hear us. And there's power in praise and worship. And I see people and I think, that's what they're doing behind doors at home too. And I try to stir people up. When I was laying there, out of it, man, that appendix problem I had. I taught Grandma Allison to tell me how to get out of the bed alarm, got up with that IV cart, and just paced the floor like this. I mean, I could hardly move, but I was just, praise you, Father. Because my attention, my body was screaming out, and I needed to get my attention off my body.
Right.
And I just start walking around that room, stirring myself up, what? Getting my attention on God, and my faith was strengthened.
Amen.
And the symptoms didn't matter to me.
Amen.
Amen. If you'll start stirring yourself up at home and just worship Him.
Yeah.
Just worship Him.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
If you'll worship Him as healer, guess what He'll be for you? Healer.
Yeah.
The Bible says He's looking for people to worship Him in what? Spirit and truth. What's truth? His word is truth. What does that mean? When you're sick, worship Him as healer. Why? That's the truth.
Yeah.
When you're broke, what do you worship Him? You're my provider.
Yeah.
When you're in bondage, you're my deliverer.
Yeah.
When you don't have the answers, you're my answer.
Worshiping
Him in truth instead of looking at the problem, staring at the problem, wondering how it's going to get fixed. Your faith will go down the tubes in that. Put it on your answer. Praise and worship holds your attention on your answer. Why? You can't start out strong and fall away and expect to receive the manifestation. You will reap, what's the next word? If you faint not. So you got to do something during the most times, the opportune time to faint, which is that space when you release to the time it shows up, that in between where the battle's at and the devil attacks. You got to do something to carry you on in faith. That is your recipe. You're praising Him because not only when you say, Father, You're my healer, I thank You for healing my body, You're worshiping Him, but you're also Mark 11:23 in that thing, speaking to the mountain. You are. Ladies and gentlemen, this is our answer. This is our answer for the impossible. This is our answer when it's maybe not even as dire as that, just believing God for anything. This is our answer. Get it in ya. Find out where you're at and then say, okay, I need to make an adjustment. Praise God. Well, were you blessed?
Amen.
We're going to take up communion after we pray here, but let's go ahead and let's pray. Father, thank You so much for the Word. Thank You so much for the Word. Father, I just remember in the dark, you know, in that little nursery, in that glider rocking chair, holding Caleb as he's just a little chubby-cheeked little baby boy. And I remember the thoughts, Father, that I'd never gotten before because I'd never been a dad, never realized the magnitude of the responsibility and that this little child is, how he turns out and how he's safe and taken care of is up to me and her. And at night when I'm by myself feeding him, and the thoughts would flood me. And Father, I remember just turning my attention to You in those times and just worshiping You, praising You that the money would come. Praising You for all the healing and all the different things. Putting my attention on You and going through that test and trial full of faith. Father, I pray that people would do the Word. Do the Word. Yeah, but I'm not a person that likes to open my mouth. Well, you better become a person that likes to open your mouth. You better become a person. You better become a person that can be louder than the devil. So many people, the devil's so much louder than them, and that's what they hear. That's what they hear. That's what they hear. That's what they hear. That's why I'm so loud and animated. If the devil's going to be loud, I'm going to be louder. If the devil's going to be animated, I'll be more animated. Why? I'm trying to get something driven home to people. Our help and our answer. Father, we thank You tonight. Let's worship Him and thank Him. This is our answer. Now I know that everyone in here is born again, received Jesus, walking in that. If you're listening online though, and now or when the archive is posted and you've never received Jesus, let me just tell you that Jesus is the only way to heaven. The Bible says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said it. No man comes to the Father, which is in heaven, except through Me. You say, what does that mean? What do I do? He said, if you believe in Him, He said, you would not perish but have everlasting life. So if you're listening online now in the future, you just simply believe in Him. If you believe in your heart that Jesus was real, died on the cross, and rose again, you are a qualified candidate to receive His blessings. You say, what do I do? Well, Romans 10:13 says, call on His name. Well, what does that look like? Just simply pray a prayer like this and mean it with all your heart. Declare your faith and your belief in Him. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe in You. I believe You died and rose again. I believe that You are the Son of God, and I ask You to come into my heart. And if you'll pray that and mean that, He'll do His part, and He'll come in, He'll forgive you. The Father will become a dad to you, the best father there ever could be. And send me an email, give me a phone call, and we'll get you hooked up in your next steps, and you can learn all this stuff about faith and how to be victorious and how to walk in all that He has for you. Father, we praise You tonight. We're just so grateful for the opportunity to take up communion. Lord, we know this is a special time, a reverent time. We know that's something we do once a month, but we don't look at it as repetitive or mundane. We know that this is ordained by You, Father, to remember what Your Son did for us. So I just ask that everybody be in the attitude of worship and praise and reverence, not religious, but reverence and worshipful towards Him as we go ahead and take up the elements. Brothers, go ahead and come forward. We'll put that song on, Brandy. Just worship Him. Just worship Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, brother. Thank you, sir. Jesus, thank You. take communion. To remember what you did for us. Praise God. We'd all be a mess without Him. Without Jesus. Verse 23, for I have received of the Lord that which also was delivered unto you the same night the Lord Jesus took bread, when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Let's go ahead and break the bread and let's eat it. Now, Lord, we know and recognize and understand that the bread represents your body which was broken for us. By the stripes in your body we can be healed. We thank you for the price that you paid in your physical body for our healing. We're so grateful. Let's thank him for that. Thank you, Lord, for healing. Praise God. Hallelujah. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Let's drink. And Lord, we also recognize that the juice represents the blood that was shed for us. Without the blood, there's no remission of sins. There's no forgiveness. There's no way back to a perfect Father. But you've washed us clean, as white as snow. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that was spilled for us. Thank you. We might not fully grasp it in our minds, but our spirit, we know. We're so grateful for that precious blood, that divine blood. We glorify you and magnify you. Father, we love you tonight. We're just so grateful, so thankful. Father, I thank you for the fellowship time we're about to have. It's just such a joy and honor to be able to spend time together. And Father, I pray that you'd bless those that made things, brought things, bought things, set up that will stay to take down, Lord. And Father, we pray that you'd bless them and let them know they're appreciated for participating in this. And we just thank you for the food that we're about to eat. We call it Bless Our Body in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Before you run out of here, when I say dismiss, we'll pass the cups to the center. The gentleman, hold on a second, the gentleman will pick it up. And then don't forget, we have service Tuesday night at 6 o'clock. And then also, I think that's it, isn't it? Tuesday night, the Children's Church. I knew there was something else. Thank you, Julie. All the kids from Children's Church, come on up. You are dismissed.